I don't know, is it me or is the bird just getting quieter? I think that bird is getting quieter. Plus, I'm losing my hearing, too. Who knows? So here we are, Sunday night, Sunday p.m. And we're going through the manner of life from Paul. You know, I tell you, the more I talk with people, the more I hear things. People don't want to fight over the doctrine of Paul. They really don't. They can't understand rightly dividing, so they don't. And they don't even give it a try. They just want this magic Jesus to fix everything for them based on their good life and their prayer life. And if they're winning souls and church attendance and they're worshiping, whatever manner they believe that he will accept worship. They don't care whether he'll accept worship. They don't think about that. They just figure if they enjoy the worship and it brings people to church, then God must be happy with it. And do you ever go someplace and you talk to people and you see what's going on in their lives and you see what they believe and you see what they talk about and stuff, and you can think of scriptures that would straighten that out for them, help them get some understanding, help them see something. And you can't bring it up because it just dampens the meeting as such. And I go and I talk with people more and more. I see more and more of what Paul was talking about when he talked to on the Mars Hill, the unknown God, the guys that are worshiping the unknown God. I keep thinking that. Let's turn to that just for just kind of a hors d'oeuvre here this evening. Let's just turn to the Acts 17 just for a second here, because he says something here that I'm recognizing more and more what's going on. And it starts up in verse 22 is the Mars Hill, but it starts before that, and to go up into verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. This is the educated bunch. This is the ones that, that really, as it says here, we'll see that. What will this babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be set forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And in so many ways, when we talk with people, or just anybody we know of here, they have a hard time with the resurrection. In a way, they believe that Jesus died and rose again. They don't have a problem with that. That's what Christmas and Easter is all about, the birth of the baby Jesus and then the death and the resurrection. Okay, fine. But when we talk to people about the common sense of why don't we just follow the teachings of the risen Savior, because they exist, and that was Paul's ministry as Christ gave it to him, why does Paul have to say, okay, now don't listen to the Jewish teachings in the Gospels anymore? He doesn't say that. But why should he have to say that? If Christ rose again and offered himself to the Jews again, Acts 1 through 8, through Peter, and they rejected that, and then Christ goes on to Paul and teaches in Romans chapter 11 the whole thing about the Jews kind of on the shelf for now. He's not done with them, but they're on the shelf for now. And these people that say that, well, because we're spiritual Jews, then let's follow the Jewish teachings. These are not Jewish teachings. These are Gentile teachings. So they reject the Gentile teachings, and they want to go back to the Jewish teachings when the Jews are put on the shelf. Well, we're Jews now, so we should follow. Well, if that's the case, then you should be following the Levitical law too. We don't want to do that, because the New Testament is Jesus. No, the New Testament is the risen Jesus. That's the New Testament. Hebrews 9:16 tells us that. So, we go through the same thing here when it says here, he seems to be set forth of, people think that you're teaching a strange thing. How could you dare teach what Jesus teaches in the all things are lawful? How could Jesus ever teach? Well, he does teach that. Well, we should have to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why is that? That's in the Gospels, but that's not in Paul. Well, we should do them both together. No, you're having a hard time because we preach unto you Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. Okay, now here's my point. Hi, Brian. We're just kind of doing a bunny trail here. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we would know therefore what these things mean. Okay, it makes it sound like they're interested. Parentheses, verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And you go to people's homes and you see all these books, all these religious books about this and that and whatever and New Age things and the state of the church today, you know, and a lot of books based on that people's doctrine and stuff. And they love to buy these books. Well, why is that? Because it says right here, they spend their time to tell about or to hear some new book they got. It tells them something new that they haven't heard before. Well, why would they have to go through that? Because they're worshiping an unknown God. They have no idea what the truth is. So if anybody can come up with another way to excite your church people or to get people to come or to have fun when they come or something to get the kids involved, you'll buy the book. What a money-making thing is out there. And that's just the preliminary to the where Paul says, listen, you guys, you don't even know anything about your God. You ignorantly worship this God of yours, and let me tell you, God that made the world, and then he goes and he straightens them out. But it still doesn't work, as we read later on. But anyway, so that Mars Hill is becoming more and more obvious to what's going on in people's lives. They're worshiping an unknown God. They have no idea about their God, and the way that they can be they can be educated, they don't want to hear it. What is this strange new doctrine you have? This guy, what's this Paul stuff? What are you talking about, Paul? Only, how can you do only? So the rest of the Bible is worthless? I never said that. I'll even show you an example tonight. Why we still read the Gospels. Why we still encourage people to read the Genesis to Revelation. You're reading past, present, and future. What's wrong with that? It's a lot wrong with that if you try to apply the past and the future to the present. You can't do that. Who reads a history book and tries to follow Hammurabi's or whatever his name is laws today? No, you don't follow the Constitution anymore today either, but you follow the laws that are established for today. You pull these laws out of the books that are still laws, and they say, you know, no spitting on the sidewalk. Well, why don't they arrest you? Well, that law is not there anymore, and that's just what Christ did. He fulfilled the law. All things are lawful if you put our faith in him. He took care of that stuff. He paid the penalty for it. He didn't just declare them, you know, no longer laws. He paid the penalty for breaking it. Anyway. And you know what? If there was a verse in the Bible that said, thou shalt not follow us, Jesus' teachings in the Gospels today, they would still find a way to get out of that. God knows. He wrote what he needed to write, and he wrote it in the way that he wanted it written. And it was that which is perfect, and it's no longer going to add anything to it. It's finished, it's done, it's perfect. And since that Bible came about, all that other stuff that was done in part, it's over with. It's done. That's how you have to rightly divide Corinthians. You've heard me say that. You're going to hear me say it again. Okay, so let's get started with our message for this evening. Let's turn to John chapter 8, of all places. And we're going to look at a little phrase. The phrase I'm looking up is walk in. Walk in. We're looking at Paul's manner of life over this long series, and it's about to get into the tough stuff, which is why people say to me, they don't say it to me, they say it to other people, he's picking on us, he's aiming for me. If he just wouldn't pick on me, then we'd have more people coming to church, blah, 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 blah. Right. And you got a doctor. You got patients in the office there, and the doctor says, well, you have cancer, or you have something to do with such and such. Well, man, don't tell me that, doc. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, just tell me something nice. Well, you came to a nice doctor. Do you like our doctor's office here? Do you like the chairs we have? Do you want us to do something different to get you to come to see us more often? No. If you come and see me, I'm going to tell you what the doctor thinks to be true. And this Bible tells us what is true, and we're supposed to preach the word in season and out of season. Paul says that. Out of season means it's not going to grow. You want to plant corn in South Dakota in December, go ahead. It's not going to grow. But he doesn't tell us. He tells us to preach the word in season and out of season. And the word is Genesis to Revelation. But the whole counsel of God, which in general, we make it refer to the whole Genesis to Revelation. But God's counsel to us right now is Paul. So, whatever. Am I still saying to reject? No, I'm not rejecting the rest of the Bible. You learn history. It says there for admonition. We can learn from what those guys had to go through. I learned a lot from the Jews. I learned that they couldn't do it, and God threatened them and beat the snot out of them, and they still didn't do it. Why do I think a little chastisement and rebuke is going to make me straighten out? Or a preacher is going to get up and say, well, you know, God will spank you if you don't do it right. Well, God sure spanked the Jews, and it still didn't work. You can beat your kids silly. And the kids might obey you because they don't want to get beat anymore, but they sure don't believe from the heart. So go ahead and teach Revelation. Well, then you got to obey the commandments. You got to obey the law. Well, are you obeying the law there, sir? Well, most of the time I confess it when I don't. You know, what are you talking about here? That's not going to... What if he were to come when you haven't confessed? That's the fear they have, see? Make sure you confess, because what if he comes and you haven't confessed? Then you'll be shamed, says that Revelation chapter 2 and 3. So then if you're going to be shamed, why are you going to be shamed? Then if you're shamed, you don't get to go with him. You know, when you think about this tribulation stuff, and then afterwards, and Armageddon and all that stuff, how many people are going to be fighting the real Christ when they thought they had the real Christ and they just had another Jesus? They're going to end up fighting the one they thought they had. That's a strange thought. Anyway, we're looking at walk in. And we're going to go to John chapter 8, and it says here, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Okay? Now that's fine. That's the verse that Jesus says. Do we say, don't pay attention to that verse? Well, it's not written to me. And we know that Paul talks about us being children of light. And he tells about men love darkness. So we know all that stuff. The key here is he says, he followeth me. Okay? Now, in the gospel times, how did they follow Christ? They had to give up everything they had to follow him. They had to believe that he was the Messiah. We won't go through all the teachings of detail, but that's the case. We went over that 1,000 times. Just stretching imagination there, but anyway. So we say we don't not read the Gospels. We just understand how to read the Gospels. So when he says, I am the light of the world, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, today, in Paul's time, King James Bible time, how do we follow Christ? We follow Christ by following Paul. We don't follow Christ by following Peter. We don't follow Christ by following James and John. We don't follow Christ by following Jude. We don't follow Christ by following the Beatitudes. We don't follow Christ by praying the Lord's Prayer. We follow Christ by following the risen Savior, the risen Christ, and he's the light. Of course, he's the light of the world. But he's the light of the world as he is risen, and he's teaching that light to Paul, to a King James Bible, to us. And if you want to follow the Jesus in the Gospels, have at it, but you're going to be walking in darkness. Now, there's a really neat verse coming up, so hang in there. It'll kind of summarize all the stuff I'm trying to say here. John 11, verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Okay, that makes total sense. So how do you walk in the day? By following the risen Savior. Verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. He won't have the light of the risen Savior. We're living in a time after the risen Savior rose. The Gospels are in the time before Jesus rose. And I don't say to people, skip the rest of your Bible. But just when you realize when Jesus says to follow him, or he says to walk in the day, or whatever the things he talks about, we've got to remember that today that means by following the risen Savior, the teachings of the risen Savior. Only. Why mix light with dark? And I'm saying this because I just don't understand why it's such a difficult concept to follow, other than, I'll say it again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When Paul says here, for the teaching of the cross in verse 18 is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Then he says, for it is written, I will destroy the... See, to preach the cross means that's when he was crucified, and that's what he rose from. Preaching before the cross is not preaching the cross. But anyway, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why is all that so? Why is that? Why does he do it that way? That no flesh should glory in his presence. That's bottom line. So here we got these guys, no offense here, anybody out there. I've got my degrees and all that kind of stuff too. And I think the reason people don't understand this stuff about Paul only and apply it properly without getting tweaked and hurt is it's like they're too smart for themselves. They're too wise. They know how to... I'm getting these letters, and Josh, if you ever listen to this thing, I'm getting these emails from this guy, and he's just justifying every verse you can to make this thing fit today. That, you know, that takes worldly wisdom to be able to do that, but he's missing the point. He doesn't get the Father Paul stuff. He doesn't get the light. The light is from the risen Savior today. And when Jesus was on this earth, I am the, as present, yes, I am the light of the world. Yes, he is. Yes, he was during that time. But he was the light of the world, but he was lighting up the Jews so they could go off to the world. That was the design. Way back to Genesis 12 was the design for that whole thing. Okay. So, anyway, let's just keep going. I didn't mean to park on that little opinionating set of comments there. But that's how you read the Gospels and realize how to apply that to us. Yes, it's the risen Savior you follow. Josh, come on, you guys. You're going to walk in the day, you walk in the daylight of the risen Savior. Anyway, let's go to Acts chapter 14. Here's another one. We're talking about, see, walk. And he says, if any man walk in the day, well, we want to walk in the day. Well, we walk in the day by walking in Christ, the risen Savior. Okay, Acts 14. Let's go to Acts 14. Let's look at another one here. It's just an interesting set of verses here about walk in. Walk in. So next time you go to a restaurant or something, or you go to a store and it says walk in, maybe this will kind of click a little memory about a sermon that you heard. Well, you know, one day this old guy preached a sermon called Walk In. It was interesting. But we don't dare tell anybody what we learn anymore because they really just don't want to hear it. They don't get it. We're supposed to hear what they believe. They want to tell us all about these new things, these new books that they've read about how to do church. But they don't want to have us tell us, yes, but that's Acts chapter 2. Paul is the guy that teaches us how to do church today. Do church, you know, kind of a thing. Well, here, let's go to Acts chapter 14, verse 8. Here's another thought. Walk in, verse 8. So you know the story here. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now there again is where the Pentecostals get the fact that these people are not healed because they don't have faith. You go to Benny Hinn, and you got to have faith. If you have faith, you'll be healed. If they were to be Bible-believing people, which they are not, that concept is taught right here with Paul. And this is Paul's stuff. This kid had to have enough faith to be healed. Well, we know that the Old Testament faith was their faith. The Hebrews chapter 11, the famous Hall of Fame, all those guys had their faith strong enough to do what they had to do. But we have the faith of Jesus Christ. And Joshua, if you're listening to this thing, you still tell me you don't understand the faith of Jesus Christ. That's right, you don't. You don't understand Paul's teachings, then you're not going to understand what the difference between my faith and the faith of Christ. I have my faith. My faith can grow. But I live by His faith, Galatians chapter 2 and 3. Anyway, so this is the time that this guy had faith to be healed, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Paul knew this guy had enough faith that he could heal him. Said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. I wonder what it is that Paul perceived that he knew this guy had enough faith to be healed. Anyway, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And isn't that what happens to these Benny Hinn guys and these televangelists? These guys make these people think that these guys are of God, and they'll give them everything. And they just follow around like dogs on their master. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God." That's all this is about with Paul, is that we're just trying to get ourselves, as well as anybody else, to take our vanities of our life and turn to a living God. And we learn about this living God from Peter only, because the Christ is risen. He's living. And it says here, "which made heaven and earth," Ephesians chapter 3. Yes, he did. It's a funny thing, another bunny trail here for anybody out there. These modern Christians who believe that God had everything to do with creation, their verse in Ephesians chapter 3 that tells them Jesus Christ is the one that did the creating, and their verse in their Bible doesn't tell them that. That verse is missing in their Bible. Or those words are missing in their Bible. So here are these people that believe that, you know, God created, and their Bible doesn't tell them that. They're so ignorant of their Bible. "Which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." Now here's the verse. "Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways." So there's our long suffering that God is. Past, He suffered all nations. He allowed them to walk in their own ways. So he didn't show himself as such. "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." So when people today say, "Well, where's God at? He's not blessing me." What do you mean he's not blessing you? We've got his witness out there, creation. We've got his witness out there with the weather. Ah, but look at the floods. Ah, double ah. Look at the floods, you find out that God didn't cause that, man did. The floods we're having in the Mississippi are because of the floods we're having in the Missouri, because of the floods that we're having in North Dakota and Montana from their snow, and nobody opened up the gates fast enough or soon enough. Now we got all these floods everywhere. Katrina was a horrible hurricane, but the damage was done because the dikes either were blown up by the government or just they collapsed. It's just like all these houses burned down in the forest. Well, what are you doing building your house on the side of a hill in a forest anyway? We know that fires are a natural thing in the forest, and if some of those trees, if they don't burn, they don't plant their seeds. We get fires out here in the prairie. Well, what are you doing building a little house out in the middle of the prairie? Because the next time when that prairie fire finally burns itself out because it gets to the river or something, you watch the next year, that grass is green as ever could be. God's designed the thing. We've messed it up. What about all this rain we're getting or tornadoes? Well, here you go. Check it out in the HAARP. It's called the HAARP. The man's been tinkering with the weather for years, electronically and da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da, seeding and the whole bit. And it's pretty much documented that, man, we're changing, we're dinking around with weather, and we're the ones causing all this problem. Serious? Well, yeah, do some research a little bit. So he says here, who in times past suffered all nations to walk, he's letting them do their thing. He still is, Romans chapter 2. He's letting the lost people do their thing. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. I mean, he's still there. You can still see him out there. Well, where is God at now? I mean, how do you know? Read your Bible. Read what he says to us through Paul. And you realize that we're not going to go by sight. God is not going to do anything to prove it, to prove his existence by visual sight. That was done for the Jews. We've got to have faith. Pretty hard to have blind faith. Well, who's having blind faith? Read your Bible. He tells you how to walk. He tells you that the rewards that will be there, he'll tell you. He tells you that the stuff you do wrong is going to burn. He's going to tell you that, yeah, everything's lawful because I took care of the law. That's not a problem. But not everything is expedient. And if you're going to cause somebody to stumble, blah, 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 blah. He talks to us like a father. He tells us things. He's still there. He's in my life every day. Why hasn't he fixed some of my problems? Well, I think the solution is in the Bible. I just don't want to follow the solution. It's not his fault. I've got pride. Well, how do you get rid of pride? Well, talk to Jesus about it. He tells us to pray every day. Talk to the Lord about it. He'll tell you the answer in the Bible how to get rid of that pride. Humbleness of mind, lowliness of mind, he says in there. We still have to do it, don't we? And I think this is what bothers people the most about Paul's teachings, is it still has everything to do with our walk. Not just a brain thing. You go to college and learn all this tons of stuff. You go to these institutes and Bible colleges, they teach you that your Bible is no longer the Word of God. They teach you that, Mark, you were telling me some stuff the other day about they're trying to figure out who's Israel's enemies were and weren't, and they're changing all this kind of stuff in history. And it's like, oh, man, whoa. These Bible colleges and theological stuff, they tell you that your Bible's, you need to know the Greek, and you need to do this, and you need to go here, and you go to Ruckman School, you learn how to have an attitude, you go to Heil School, you learn how to win souls with squirt gun contests and all this kind of stuff, and you go to all these other colleges, you learn that the Baptist Church, well, you got to be baptized by somebody all the way back to John the Baptist. I mean, it's just nutty and a fruitcake out there. And these people are so smart with their stuff, you show them the simplicity of Paul. Well, the simplicity that's in Christ. It's simple. It's common sense. He died. Yes, you believe that. He rose again. Yes, you believe that. He went to Paul and told him what to tell the Gentiles because he's done to the Jews for now. Yes, that makes sense. So let's study what he taught. Yes, he's the living Savior. He's the living God. And Acts chapter 26, it says here, Acts chapter 26, he says in verse 18, that Paul's job is to get our eyes open and to turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And then he says that we should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Meaning, if we are really saved, we should see it in our works, in our walk. And so then Paul goes on and he teaches us these things. And really, look at, I think it's Acts 22. May not be. Let's look at Acts 9. I think it might be in Acts 9. I don't think it is Acts 9, but I think it's in the other section here where Paul gets his salvation there, but that's not where the details are told. Come when he talks to Agrippa there. Come on, that's Acts 26 maybe? Here it is. Yep, Acts 26, Agrippa. Where Paul says in verse 16, this is what Paul was told. Rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. This is where I was a minute ago, too. We're looking all over the place for nothing. So, Paul did his job. He told us what he has seen. And what did Paul see? He saw Stephen get killed. Paul wasn't of the original 12. So he's teaching us what he saw and what Jesus Christ told him that he's going to appear and teach him. That's what we're following. So yeah, you want to follow Jesus? Sure you do. Based on John 8:12, sure. But you do it by following the risen Christ. That's Paul. You want to walk in the day? That's walking through what Paul teaches. And we see here that as far as the nations go, back to Acts 14, God is still there with a witness today, but he's not there with signs and wonders. That's coming later. And right now we know the devil's going to be working with signs and wonders. Lying wonders, I think it says. Anyway, let's get back into the track here. I think this is an interesting statement here. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Here's another one. We're looking at the phrase walk in, which is we're walking Paul's manner of life. But we're just kind of looking at this thing in general. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. Here's another thing people get messed up with when it comes to Israel. And we think that in Genesis when God says to Abraham, yes, you're going to be a blessing to all the nations. And everybody thinks that we need to spend money in Israel and then God will bless our nation today. But if they read Romans chapter 4, they find out that how are you blessed today by Abraham? Look at verse 12. I know we already know this, but look at this verse 12. This is really an interesting word I've kind of overlooked as I read too quickly. Romans 4:12, and the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being yet uncircumcised. But then if you go and read the rest of that chapter, you see in verse 15, the law worketh wrath, where there no law is, there is no transgression. You read about, again, the faith of Abraham in verse 16. You read down in verse 20 and 21 that he was persuaded that he was able to have kids and the nation thing, and is imputed to him for righteousness. What was? His faith was. And you see in verse 23 and 24, same thing for us. Well, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a specific faith, because it says in verse 12, but who also walk in the steps of that faith, not the faith, but in that faith of our father Abraham. The faith that he had was counted for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. His faith is counted for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. That righteousness might be imputed unto them. Romans 4, chapter 13. Through the righteousness of faith. Not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. What faith? Well, you know, that faith that Abraham had. What faith did Abraham have? Or in Galatians, I find out that faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. Not Abraham's faith, but that faith. So our faith is counted for righteousness. How can that be? Because it's his faith that we're trusting. I just kind of like that word that in verse 12. Walk in. Okay, there's our phrase. Walk in the steps of that faith. And that's what Paul teaches. In fact, I don't know if I can find this or not. I wish I had the memory of a teenager or a young adult or something, but I don't. I don't think I can find it. Mind and faith. Hang on here. I don't think so here. How about my? Oh, faith. I know what it is. In me. I can find this. A faith and me. Oh, 69 verses. Okay. Yeah, there's a verse in there somewhere where Paul talks about you need to have the faith in me. No, he's not talking about have your faith in Paul. He wants us to have the faith that's in Paul. What faith is in Paul? The faith of Christ. We should be able to find that verse, Gurr. No, it's not where it is either. Oh. Okay, yeah. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know, if you're just a quick educated person, you're going to think that I'm supposed to have faith in Paul. I'm not supposed to have faith in Paul. I want the faith that Paul has that's in him. That's the faith of Christ. Faith of Jesus, it says in Philippians and Galatians. Okay. So, there's that one. Romans 4:12. Interesting little things, you know, they just really are. And you're going to come to this site and you're going to hear kind of the same thing over and over again, I guess. Maybe that's why the numbers are down once. Why is he going to talk about the walk again? Well, you know that walk is supposed to be our testimony. Not what we say and teach people. It's our walk. Look at Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. They show. And how ye turned to God from idols People saw that these people turned to God from idols. They saw that in their lives. And to wait for a son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Our testimony is best what we've done different in our lives, not what we say to people. Anyway, so the wrath is important. And if I was a pastor in a church like I was for 13 years, we'd have Sunday school classes, we'd have Bible study, we'd be going through the whole Bible, we'd be teaching different things, but 61,000 years old I am, and it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty here and show folks that are willing to hear about Paul. You know, our walk should change. Our lives should change, believe it or not. And yet, as we went through the last couple of weeks, there are 13 lessons so far, 10 lessons so far, that manner of life includes towards other people grace and mercy and patience and long-suffering and that whole list of things we've been going through. That's still part of our walk. But we're about to get into the stuff with our walk that's going to cause the problems. Us being kind to people doesn't bother anybody but us. Our flesh does not want us to be kind to some of these people who are not being kind to you. Or you've got these butterfly Christians who are being very kind all the time, or being full of grace all the time, but there's not an ounce of truth in their words. I don't want to be like that either. I want to have patience. Well, I don't want us to have patience. I want to get it done. Let's get into this thing. Now, I need to have patience. You need to have long suffering. You have to allow this stuff for a long time. Finally, somebody will get it. God's got long suffering for us, so does Paul. Got to sneeze. Whoops. There's never one sneeze, there's always two. Maybe not. Okay, so we're talking about the walk. Now, here we go. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Here's another one. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, and I won't get into the runs of it, but it is not a water baptism that does it. That was John's baptism. It's not ours today. Paul even takes care of that. Another sneeze. I told you there'd be two sneezes. Maybe three. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So if it says we also should walk in newness of life, then Christ himself is walking in newness of life. Well, sure, he's risen. Well, yeah. So he's going to teach us newness of life-ities. It's a different life. It's a newness of life. So we walk in newness of life, not in the letter of the law, not in the old ways, not in all that stuff. That was given to the Jews. Follow me, I'm your Messiah. Believe that I'm your Messiah. Believe that I'm your Savior. I'm the Son of God, and you're with me. And how do we know that? Because of Acts 8:37, right? The Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip asked him, "Hey, are you part of us?" And he says, "Well, yeah, I am. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Oh, well, that made him part of them then, because that's what they had to believe in the Gospels. I asked these people, I asked Joshua, does believing that Jesus is the Son of God make you a Christian today? Well, no, you have to have some. Okay, now when you see the words believe in John, what are they talking about? They're talking about, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's what we're talking about. So don't use the word in the Gospels to try to prove something in Paul's writings. Go to Paul. You hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You believe and you trust. That's what Paul talks about. Baptism, it's a spiritual baptism. There's no water baptism involved. Well, how about when Paul did a water baptism? Yeah, and he also had to lay his hands on them afterwards to give them the Holy Ghost. Again, transition, Jews, they had to see something. When that which is perfect has come, that stuff was done. Okay, I'm just kind of rambling. Let's keep going here. Oh, I like this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Not that I don't like the other one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Remember, we're looking at the phrase, what is it? Somebody type it in. What phrase are we looking at here tonight? We'll see if you're still awake. 2 Corinthians. Well, that was fast. Ah, the doctor, yes. Walking. Oh, Peter got it. There we got it. Two for two. Come on, you finger peckers out there. Type it in. W. There it is, Mark. One more, Brian. W-A. Where's my L? There's L-K. Space. Space with a thump. There it is. We got it. Hey, is Adriana with you tonight? Adriana there tonight? See how casual we are? This is how I was in the pulpit, too, though, so why not be? Not tonight. Oh, sad. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:16. I'm gonna hate to say the word bet. I don't know what else to say. I'm glad she was there this morning. Good. I'm gonna bet you that you've never seen this before. Maybe you have. Maybe I'm the one that's off slow with everything here. It says 2 Corinthians 6:16. In what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Oh, we've all heard that. For ye are the temple of the living God, which we know. As God hath said, okay, God said this, I will dwell in them, okay, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now put your name in there, put yourself in there. I will walk, God will walk with me, God will dwell in me, and God will walk in me, and he will be my God, and I shall be his people. I mean, we know it's sons of God. That phrase, God walk in me, that's just clicking with me today. We know God is in me. We know that. We've read that. But God will walk in me. God will walk in me. Now, my mind wants to serve. My mind wants to serve the law of God. We want to do what God would have us to do. We want to do what God would do in us. But our flesh serves the law of sin. Well, he took care of sin, so we don't have to, we just choose to. And that sin, and it's not even us that does it, it's the sin that dwelleth in us. So we know that. But just, and there's nothing else for me to talk about other than just to say, just picture this and grab a hold of this thing. God hath said, I will walk in them. So if God's going to walk in me, is he going to walk with the old law? Well, no, Christ took care of the law. Is he going to walk in me and try to present the gospels in me? No, because that was to the Jews. Is he going to try to walk in me and is he going to try to show the walk of God during the tribulation, chastisement, and reproof and rebuke, and all these going to lose your salvation, all this kind of stuff, come and go inside us like it is Revelation? No, it's not going to be like that at all. If God's going to walk in me, he's going to be walking in me by what he is teaching us through his right hand, which is Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. You see what I'm saying? God is going to walk in me. He's going to walk in me with what Paul teaches us to walk. That's God. You want to have God walk in you? He's not going to magically do it. He's going to do it through your reading of Paul's epistles. And really, in very specifics, he's going to walk in us through Timothy and Titus. Those are the tough books. That's God walking in us. That's the change that we make. It isn't just be change in our flesh. It'll be like Paul says in Acts 26:18. God will walk in us. He's going to tell us through the Scriptures what it is he wants to walk in us to do. You don't read your Bible, you're not going to fight with God. Because you're not going to know what it is God wants you to do. Because he's the one in you walking. You don't read your Bible, you don't know anything about God, and you can follow an unknown God, you can make up your own design, do your own thing. Buy a couple of books on how to do the church. Buy a book on how to get your congregation excited. Buy a book on how to worship God in a manner that brings other people to your church. I mean, all sorts of stuff. That's not God walking in people. God's going to walk in us through what he teaches Paul. That's the walk. Anyway, does that make sense? I think that little phrase, walk in them. He dwells in me, sure he does. But does he walk in you? Well, sure he walks in me. I pray all the time. But how do you know he's walking? Is that what God wants you to do with your music? Well, he's never told me no. He's never spanked me for it. Never chastised me for it. I can show you chastisement in the Bible. Sure, God chastises us through words. Anyway. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I could just stop right there and end it on that, because that should be how we should end our mind thinking tonight, is eyes closed, head bowed. Do you have God dwelling in you? Yes, I know I do. Do you know that God is walking in you? Raise your hand if you don't think He's walking in you enough. Come up to the altar and pray and get your heart right with God. Get your heart right. Is your heart right with God? Have Rex sing that to you and get into this whole religious emphasis stuff. You walk out of the church, light up, and have a great time. The rest, we'll go and watch TV and pop on some movies and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, God will walk with me during church, but that's all I got time for Him. It goes on and goes on. God walks in me through that King James Bible rightly divided, because Jesus Christ is His right hand. Yeah, but see, that meddling is when everybody says, well, you're just telling them what to do. You're trying to control them. You're trying to be their Holy Spirit by preaching this stuff. I've heard that so many times. Drives me nuts. I picked on them. Okay. Are we in Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship. Okay? That's good. Because beforehand, we are in the fall. You know, when they say that we're created in the image of God, don't you hear that all the time? Well, we were, but now we're in the fallen image of Adam. I want to read the rest of that chapter. But now, since we're saved, and He's done some reconstruction, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So now, we are His workmanship. All right. Created in Christ Jesus. Well, that's good. Unto what? Good works. Oh, okay. You know what good works are? That's our walk. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Those good works. It's still our job is to be a Christian, is to walk like a Christian. I know we all got television issues, we got money issues, we got debt issues, we got flesh issues, we got things we shouldn't see, things we shouldn't hear. We're learning, blah, 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 blah. We learn some stuff, we don't change it, we don't want to. Our flesh, we're following, it's not me that did it, it's the sin that's in me. We realize, we all got that. But in the last couple of years, we should have grown into some good work somewhere, and those are the things that we're supposed to walk in. For we are His workmanship. Now we can do it. Remember, He says in Romans chapter 8, a lost person could go through the Bible and do all the stuff that Paul says to do, and it won't please God for an iota. Why? Because your sin is still attached. Now that we can actually please God, Romans chapter 8, verse 8, I think it is, Romans 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So that means now I can please God. What about that stuff you said, you watched, you did, you ate, you drank, you thought, you whatever? Well, that wasn't me. That's the sin that's in me, that dwells in me, that got me to do that. I follow along with that stuff. And that'll burn the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't boil your fellowship with God one iota. The only time that your fellowship with God goes blank is when you quit reading the Bible. And if you read your Bible and can't get anything out of it, don't blame God. God is not pulled away from us. He doesn't. He dwells in us, and He wants to walk in us. So don't give me this bunk about 1 John that if you're sinning, you got no fellowship with God. Well, it's not about losing your salvation. It's about losing your fellowship. It still doesn't say that. Besides that, that's tribulation. You don't want to believe that? Then fine. Go confess your sins. What a waste of breath. You can still talk to Him about Him. You get frustrated with yourself. Why do I keep doing it? Well, you know the answer. Your prayers are answered in Romans chapter 7. We still have this desire for a magical God to fix everything. To give you the great job. To give you the big bucks. To somebody give you that extra $1,000 sometime. For America to be fixed. I'm praying. I'm seeking God's face. Yeah, but you're reading an old Chronicles verse. What are you trying to apply that thing for? You don't even know what it means to seek His face anyway. And B, you're not praying hard enough. Paul tells you to pray without ceasing. How's that? You want to gather around the flagpole and fix the school? Has it worked? Well, no. No, all it's done is it's made you more ecumenical, and you got probably more friends now, which is kind of what you wanted anyway. going to keep walking in good works, you're not going to have the friends you used to have. That's just the way it is. If you're going to let God walk in you, you're going to lose some friends. You want to walk in the newness of life, you're going to lose somebody. And if you want to follow, walk in the steps of that faith that Abraham had, you're looking for change of life. Anyway, I think we'll leave it at that. Got a couple more verses here I could do, but we'll probably save it for another night or something. I don't know. I like that. Walk in them. God wants to walk in me. That faith of Abraham. So we talked about Abraham being our father, but we also know that last week we talked about we are begotten sons of Paul. So really, Paul's like a father to us as well. And we're supposed to walk in these new, in this good works. That was the plan from the start. A Christian is supposed to walk in those good works. Walk in newness of life. We fight that thing all the time, don't we? Don't get discouraged. Yeah, who might have talked about getting discouraged? Somebody send me a couple $1,000, would you? Somebody send me this. Somebody send me that. Okay, We'll give Brian a new house, a new job. We'll give Mark all the stuff you're seeking, and Dr. Krieger, who knows where you're at with stuff, you know? And Peter, you get tired of feeding food to the world, and you know that the food contains more chemicals than food, huh? So there you go. Turn off the